listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Welcome back to Don't Mention the Football. This is episode 39, I believe. And we've got a few quite good games to talk about, strangely enough, for Hertha. Very strangely now, three games. Two home games and one away. And tonight we have with us Marcus from Berlin, myself from the UK, and Patrick from Canada. So sort of multi-continent kind of thing really tonight, and we'll give you our thoughts about what's been happening with Hertha. It's all pretty positive news at the moment, which is kind of surreal almost.
Yep, I agree. Hello everyone. And we also have a bunch of birds apparently. Simon, you're in good company.
I have my window open, what can I say, you know?
That's true. Understandable. So Marcus, you can say hi.
Yeah, hi. I actually have nightingales in my backyard, so but I Whoa. Have to, the window's closed, or otherwise everybody's here shouting me.
Okay. So maybe I can take a hint. I can close a window.
No. Actually, your birds are nice. So just leave them.
All right. So before we start talking about the games, I figured that we could, I know that right now the world is going through a really tough time, especially in the US, and that's something else entirely, but that's not what I wanted to mention first. It's just a dumb thing. Just a quick shout out to Tegel Erpal, who will close in 2 weeks on June 15th. And it probably won't reopen, I suppose.
No.
And it will be missed.
It will. It served me well over the last few years. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they will. I know that Tempelhof has guided tours, but I don't know if they will do the same. I mean, I guess they don't really need to. There is not that much to Tegel doesn't have the historical importance that Tempelhof had, or I guess or. I don't know. Do they know what they will do with the space and the building?
It will become the so-called Berlin Tech Republic, which is it will be an area for internet companies, tech companies, and such. But it will not just only consist the airport terminals, but also it will be a larger area. They also will build other buildings, like to make this urban. I think it will be called Urban Tech Republic. Okay. So it's kind of tech campus which will become there. But I still think that Tegel has an architectural importance because it used to be one of the first airports which are still active, and it has been it's an old-fashioned concept of having an airport of a short ways, because the airports which got built in the decennias later, they all had different had the concept of the long ways, so you could buy many things from one, like from terminal to the taxi or to the train station. But this one, okay. Tegel didn't have this in mind, because people weren't really minded in that period of time to like commercially not that wise. So that's why Tegel is just you come out of the plane and you walk 20 meters and you're already with a cab. So this is something very unique. So, and it has a very thought through concept, this airport. So it's, I think there will be something.
For me, that is one of the big attractions of Tegel. You get off the plane and bang, you're off.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. And I think it was, I double check, and it was, they built, if I remember, they built it in record time. because of the Luftbrücke. And yeah, that's how it started. I think they built it in like only a couple of weeks, maybe. Or
it was very quick. I know that it was very quick.
Okay. Yeah, but then the other terminals, like Terminal C, etc., they're all like they're more like barracks. They built it really like with low budget.
Anyway, so, okay, yeah, I'm not going to read it as I go. So yeah, it was just you know,
it's service to the readers, to the listeners. I think like learn better with don't mention the football.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. We educate people. All right. Okay, so we can talk about the games, the recent games, three of them. It's like as you said, man. As you mentioned, Simon, it's been quite the turnaround since the season resumed, and it feels weird not to be the laughing stock of the entire league anymore.
Hey, don't get too cocky, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it. That's true. And the upcoming game is Saturday against Dortmund.
Indeed.
So that's going to be a tough one. But okay, first, the first of the three games was against Union.
It was.
And so, yeah, do you guys have any thoughts on that game?
I had 11 sentences, and now by rebooting the computer because I didn't have audio, now they're gone. So Simon, please say something.
The obvious thing really is the sort of huge anticipation of this game, especially after what happened, you know, before Christmas and what have you. I mean, everybody was so much looking forward to this. Yeah, even if it was with trepidation, they were looking forward to it. I mean, that's the first thing that sort of has to be said, I think, really. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the coin, you know, it was a massive anticipation, but then nobody could be there. I mean, that would have been such a buzz to be at that game with, because the Olympiastadion would have been full. I have no doubt there'd been flares. Yeah. Everything going on.
It would have been rocking, absolutely.
Yeah, it would have been an amazing sort of place to, you know, to be. I mean, even back in the Spice League, I mean, I've still got a T-shirt back in my drawer there. But you know, I was there, you know, during that meeting. But you know, hey, what can you do? I mean, that's the way the world is at the moment. So. You know, we can't do anything about that. Yeah, just the fact that there was no crowd there was such a shame, really, for such a momentous sort of historical kind of meeting. Is a down thing now. Whether that sort of counts as a separate statement, I don't know, but. I mean, as I remember it, sort of looking back at the figures, Union had a few difficulties and things with people not being able to play with injuries and things. But even so, I think I'm right in saying they had no shots on target. Was that right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is quite shocking, really. I mean the first game was a little bit neutral, I suppose, but you know, apart from the penalty and what have you, but this game it turned out a totally different sort of kettle of fish, really, when it came down to it.
Especially since they lost against Bayern the week before, but they still made a game of it. You know, they lost 2-0, but it was still they were in it all the way.
Yeah, Yes.
And that week, like 1 week later against Hertha, a completely different story. Even though it was still 0-0 at halftime, you could see that, you know, they wouldn't be able to...
You kind of thought if they sort of held it for sort of like 2-0 against Bayern, that, you know, we might be in trouble here.
Mm-hmm.
With the old school Hertha, you would think... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This could go horribly wrong, but
yes.
Apparently not.
I was so happy in advance that we have Labbadia as a coach. I was much more quiet when I went into, like, in advance before the game, and I think we didn't say the result yet. We just talked about the game.
Even the best till last.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 4-0. 4-0 victory.
4-0. Oh, you blabbed it.
Sorry. But it felt good. But as you said, Simon, it felt weird because there was no, like, no real celebration and no atmosphere, you know.
No.
Oh well.
I heard shoutings in the neighborhood and I was a bit surprised because I live in a mixed neighborhood. Like I live in one of the eastern hipster quarters, and people were really like, I heard it like through the open window. People shouting cheering in a positive.
Oh, nice.
So it was. Yeah, that was nice. So I shouted back.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ibisevic, Luke Bacchio, Cunha, and Boyata within four goals within 26 minutes. So,
yeah,
that was a good run. Okay, after that, we played a 2-2 tie against Leipzig. Any thoughts on that one?
Cunha had his birthday.
Yes, that's true.
I think maybe one thing about the first game against Union,
sure.
Cunha, after he scored the goal, he heard, well, his wife was in the hospital because giving birth. Mm-hmm. And during the game, he left the stadium because he wanted to join his wife to become father. Well, then it still took a whole night. Like, I think that the child got born at 6 a.m. in the morning. It was a very nice. But he was also celebrating his goal with
Collins.
With a rocking baby.
Yeah, that was nice.
Exactly. I mean, that's just... That was part of my 11 sentences about the games. That's
cool. Okay, cool.
And the game started again with Goalies of the Goalies.
Oh, but yeah, that's true.
But this time, the other goal. The other goal.
Exactly.
A cautionary tale.
Okay, now I'm finished with Union game. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, the Leipzig game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any observations? Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was very surprised at that it's it was a 2-2 draw. Mm-hmm. But I was very surprised that it was pretty outbalanced game. Like, I really thought that Leipzig will like shoot us against the wall. But this did absolutely not happen. And the goals were not really like super nice goals, but it was all like, one was behind, one was after a corner, one was a penalty shot. And one was Rune Jahrstein made this funny step. Own goal. I think just the goal by Klostermann, that was the only kind of real goal, which, you know, like, which says something about the quality of the game, because all our three goals were more like, you know, standard situations. And I think that's more kind of luck, not really like goals played out of the game, which says something about how a team is playing.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised how good we were. So that's why I think on Saturday against Dortmund, we will win 3-0.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ooh.
And Dortmund, they destroyed, who was it? They won Paderborn, right?
6-1.
Yes. That was
Paderborn, but they took them apart. So
yes, absolutely. So well, I mean, hopefully they will be out of goals for this Saturday. Yeah.
And hopefully you'll be nice and tired now. So
yes, from the excessive celebrations.
Yes.
Also, another thing about the Leipzig game. Apparently, Nagelsmann, the Leipzig coach, was really mad at his own players. He called it like a schoolboy defending or something on Gruyt's goal. On his goal, he was left completely open. I'm not sure what happened, and apparently Nagelsmann was really not impressed. But yeah, what can you do? That happens.
Yeah, but Nagelsmann is a very bad loser always. So always when he loses, he's always like he has this, don't know, he makes this bad loser face the whole time and complains about things. Either he's complaining about he's always complaining about the referee and complaining about this and that, and he's a bad loser. So,
yeah.
I'm surprised that he wasn't complaining about. I think it was Luke Bacchio or Gruic standing, being in offside and covering the side of Leipzig's goalkeeper. Which I think, if you're a referee, you could also say, "Well, this is an offside," but then they decided not to do that. It wouldn't be an offside. But I was surprised that Nagelsmann didn't complain about the referee. I already said you will see Nagelsmann will complain at the end of the game, but he didn't. So luckily, I didn't set any money on that.
Yeah. It was quite funny. The Leipzig English Twitter account said something about it being a dodgy penalty.
Oh, yeah,
and something else. And really? I mean, that penalty was totally clear-cut. It was flipping obvious.
It was a penalty all day.
And if Rune hadn't made that, you know, horrible mistake, they would have lost.
So, I think so.
Yeah, they had the gall to tweet that. I just couldn't believe that. Unbelievable.
Must be fun living in that fantasy world. It was a dodgy penalty and a non... I forgot. I mean, I remember, as you said, Simon, that they clearly said dodgy penalty. I remember that. But there was something else like they deserve better or something. But yeah, that's horse crap. You know, that's BS. Yes. Absolutely. No way. Mm. And the stats, if we look at the stats, possession was almost 50-50. Shots on target 4-3 for Leipzig. Hertha had more shots towards the net, 11-7.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a very even game. So
yeah.
But honestly, after that own goal, I was sure that in my mind it was I was like, okay, they're done. They're not gonna come back from that. But it's good to be wrong. And Piątek scored the penalty on the 82nd minute, and 2-2 draw. I was gonna say about okay. I'll come back to Piątek after the once we discuss the Augsburg game, the next one. Anything else about the Leipzig game or
about the press conference, Simon? Did you say they had the ghoul to complain about the penalty? Like ghoul? is that the word I learned?
The goal. Yeah,
like they had the goal.
G-A-L-L. It means the what would be a good synonym? Like the courage, but in an asshole way. They were enough assholes to.
That's the gist of it.
Assholey enough to complain about that, you know.
Yeah, okay. The gallbladder is something down by your liver, and if you have the gall, if you like, to come from your liver to say something that's that sort of, it's got a sort of bad connotation to it. So it's not a good thing to say.
Okay. Yeah. So okay. In German, you could say the Frechheit.
Yeah. Okay. We could also say Ghoulies. So in German, you say have the eggs. That's why I thought that you use it in this sense as well. Learning English for
Unverschämtheit.
Unverschämtheit.
Well.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Impertinence, rudeness, gall, presumption, blah blah blah. Okay. So yeah. Anything else about the wagging? No. We can move on to Augsburg or.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, but unless you wanted to add something, Markus, or not?
No. I just was wondering. Not wondering, but we didn't do the chronicles, but actually we spoke about every goal, didn't we? Yeah.
I think so. Klostermann, 24th minute.
Like the first one was Grujic, right after 10 minutes, something like this.
Yes. Yeah.
And then what I think nice about that game is Plattenhardt. He hit the head of another, with his head, the head of another player. He went down and he didn't look good. And then he went to the corner to shoot a corner. And then Grujic scored the 1-0. And then
Plattenhardt, like, corner it was too.
yeah. Probably because he didn't see straight. So he hit the head of Grujic and Grujic scored. And then he made signals to the bench, like there's something not good with me. And then he has is that a concussion? Like if you have like a brain injury, like brain.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
It is. Yeah.
He has a concussion.
So do we know if the Jahrstein own goal was it officially an own goal? Because on the report I have here it says Patrick Schick at the 68th minute they don't count it as an own goal, but do we know what the official decision was? Not that it matters, but you know, just curious.
I don't know, they're always against us, so it's probably a goal for Leipzig.
All right.
I thought it wasn't an own goal, but hey.
It would have been my reaction as well, because like he kind of threw it in his own net, basically. Yeah. You know,
it wasn't his finest moment, but hey, you know.
I still love him. Like
he saved our bacon so many times before in the past. You know,
absolutely.
I'll cut him a lot of slack. So.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, so third game, Augsburg, 2-0 win. Dilrosun at the 23rd minute and Piontek at the 93rd minute. Mm. So, any thoughts?
First half was very good from our side. And I really like this. I'm very euphoric since Labbadia is with us, and and this was the usual euphoria I had in the first half as well. And then the second half, I thought, oh shit, bad times are coming back, like some bad memories, like 45 minutes of like trembling and what's going on with us, we don't get the balls.
Well, welcome back, Hertha.
Oh yeah, we got our Hertha back. Exactly. The shit one.
And then this goal from Piontek in the third overtime minute, like it was really some kind of relief, and I got really tranquilized after that, but like it was
a huge sigh of relief, definitely. And about Piontek, I know that he scored on the penalty kick against Leipzig and at the end of the game against Augsburg, but still, I mean, he is an odd case for me, Piontek, because he is, I mean, my impression is he looks completely invisible and out of nowhere he's gonna score. You know, it's really weird. I mean, am I wrong or
Well, he's done that once.
But I mean, many people were saying that he's been very disappointing so far. I don't know. I don't know how to think. Yeah, I don't know what to think about him. You know,
he's not been given much in the way of a chance, has he? Sort of recently, because he's come on quite late since yes. Labbadia has come in.
I think you mentioned something about that he would like to play more. But yeah, I guess Ibisevic is doing really well right now. Mm-hmm. So I guess, he's got to wait his turn, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But it's also what he said, like, of course I want to play, but Vedat Ibisevic has just a very good time at the moment.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of chance to show himself already with Klinsmann and Nuri time. Already there, I had the impression. I mean, he didn't land with Hertha like Cunha did. Like Cunha was there, was very yes. present, and Piontek had a very good game. I think it was the cup game, Schalke, I think, where he scored a goal, or he had a cup game where he was pretty good, but then after that he didn't do very well.
So that was his first goal, I think, wasn't it, in that cup game?
Yeah.
He sort of thought, well, this is good. But, mm-hmm. yeah, not so much later on.
I don't know what kind of, I don't know what style they played at AC Milan, and I don't know what kind of service he got as well. Like, you know, in Milan, was he only a trigger man, or did he have to, make his own plays and, you know, carry the ball more? Or did he receive great passes from some playmaker over there, which he maybe hasn't found with Hertha yet? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I know that he was very good in Sampdoria, Genoa. That's where he came from, I think, right? Where he scored he had a very, very high number of goals, and then he came to Milan, and there he was. I think he played more a substitute role, but still had quite a high score, I think, but I don't know about his style. Well, everybody says he's a kind of mixture of Vedat Ibisevic and Lewandowski, even if I'm not sure yet about that. Like, about the style, I mean. So he's a center forward, like a Strafraumstürmer, you said in German, like, you know, somebody staying there and getting the balls and putting them in.
Mm.
Okay.
Not the classical, like... Or not the other, the more modern player like Royce, or I don't know, I don't have any other names. But it's like he's the center forward.
Yeah.
You're right, though. He was in Genoa, 13 goals in 19 appearances,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. And the following year, 13 goals in 36 games that time. And so far, 3 goals in 10 games with Hertha.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then for a team like Sampdoria, it's pretty high score, because Sampdoria is not like Juventus, where they score like 70, 80 goals per season, but it's more like, you know, Sampdoria is, I don't know, somewhere in the second half of the table.
It doesn't say that he played for Sampdoria, though, on Wikipedia. Only Genoa. He was in Cracovia before that. Cracovia in Poland, and then Genoa, 2018, 2019 Milan.
One of the Krakow teams.
Yes, that's correct. But anyway.
Pigeons, certainly.
don't kill the birds.
As soon as I open the window, the pigeon starts up at them.
we mentioned Ibisevic briefly. His contract is over after this season, I think. So he's been on a really good run lately. I was wondering, maybe it's a dumb question, but would you consider giving him another season, another contract for one season, and maybe bring him in as a super sub? Like maybe if Piątek and Ibišević switched roles for next season, would you see it as something that could work?
I think that's a possibility. I think there has been some talk about it, Hertha, isn't there, about him staying on for another year.
Okay.
I would also, like, our success at the moment is due to Ibišević, Shelbred and Peter Pekarik, which are the three oldest, which will leave us, at least according to the contract.
There's a certain irony there, isn't there? Yeah, that's true.
And I love them all three. I love Per Shelbred most of them.
Yes.
But he will leave us definitely because he has a new contract. He signed in Rosenborg in Norway. But still, like Ibišević, I think, you know, a man who scores so many goals and brings us back on track again, I think he is still worth full. I mean, why just because he's old and he's maybe not the fastest. I mean, he has never been the fastest guy. And he has already been old since he joined us. He just got a bit older now. but he is still the one scoring
I'm
goals.
I'm not going to hold that against him.
Who are we to complain about that?
Yeah.
And you're also still here, so.
But no, you're right though that Shelbred will be difficult to replace.
He will. He's made a huge difference, and when he's played, it's made a big difference to our team. So he'll be sadly missed, I think.
Mm. Yeah, Big Eric as well. You're right. Mm. And okay, so also, I read somewhere that Ascasibar's season is over. Leg injury, I think.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Do you know, Simon?
I've not heard. No,
that's unfortunate because I mean, I thought he was getting more and more comfortable, and maybe there was some improvement. We could see some improvement. I thought.
Mm.
So that's a shame.
Yeah, but Ascasibar.
Go ahead.
Ascasibar will be the new Shelbred, basically. So I mean,
okay.
That's a guy who will replace him in style, at least. I don't know. Well, he's not as good looking as Shelbred. So, but it's this style and this. Yeah, that's what he is going to do.
You have a liking for the Scandinavian, though, don't you, Marcus?
Yes, I do.
Also, Rikic and Kraft were out against Augsburg. Kraft, is it a long-term injury? Because
he's been injured, but you know what? I don't know what the nature of the injury is, because he's not even been on the bench, has he? So.
Mm. It was Dennis Schmarsch was on the bench.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
It's not something long term because then I would know it. But he's been like injured a few times this season already. Mm. So I see you Google it. So we will have to answer pretty quickly.
Yes. nose injury. Yeah.
Nose.
Nose. Probably got a ball in the face.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's
half the team after that last game. I tweeted something about them all going to be ending up looking like boxers by the end of all this because they all keep on, you know, getting smacks in the face, didn't they?
we should mention in this case that Cunha was missing against Augsburg because he had a concussion in his brain as well.
True. Yeah.
And, and he, but did you see when it happened? Did it happen in the Leipzig game or when was this?
Yeah, it was. It happened in the Leipzig game, but I don't know. I don't know when exactly.
There seemed to be so many during the course of that game. Hence the tweet. There were sort of like loads of people. So, was it Piontek, I think? And then he caught a knee in the mush, which wouldn't have been nice. But, I mean, he was just one of many. It was a bit of a grueling game, that one.
It was a rough game, that's true. And Rikic, I don't know.
What's a mush?
Mush.
In your face.
The face.
Ah, okay. Is that an old Indian word, or...?
You learn all these interesting bits of English. Mush and ghoulies.
Just body parts.
Okay. Rikic missed the Augsburg game because of a knee injury. He should be available. Return expected on June the 7th. So, okay. I guess he will miss the Dortmund game as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
But Rikic is already, since we have Labbadia, Rikic is not playing anymore, I think. Like, he was already injured. Then, and I'm not sure. I think it's a bit difficult at the moment to tear apart. Boyata and Torunariga, who are doing a great job at the moment.
That's a really strong partnership, and you'd have to have a pretty good reason to split that up, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
And especially Stark, who's not really performing so good, but Stark is injured as well, if I'm right.
I think so, but I don't remember. Do you remember what kind of injury it was?
Not
too sure.
It's Stark, no. I can't remember.
Abductor muscle. Ooh, okay. Return unknown. Okay, so that's not good.
No, that's why the younger the second Dardai son was sitting on the bench, which is pretty. I'm pretty happy these days about having so many young players on the bench. Like,
yes,
I think, I don't know which game it was. It was the Union game where two Dardais were sitting on the bench, like Palco, the one we know already, and Marathon as well. Yes. So nice. Like, there's a funny bench like Dardai, and then Darida as well.
That's pretty cool.
But that's also one thing I like about these five exchanges which are allowed now, because I always thought why does the DFL or DFA or whoever makes these rules, why they don't allow to have more than three exchanges, substitutions.
Yes.
Yeah, because you always have players complaining that they don't play enough, and like with five substitutions, you give much more play time to different players, and it's something which brings fresh energy, and that's something I really love now, because also like younger players, they get a chance. Like Samarčić played for us, Ngankam played for us. Well, not the Dardais yet, but still, this is something which would not have happened if you just have three substitutions.
It's good for those people, but of course it gives a bit of an advantage to teams that have got like a huge squad. If you've only got a sort of quite a narrow number of people to choose from, then it leaves you at a disadvantage, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. They mentioned that, especially in the case of teams like Manchester City, for example, who had, you know, like tons and tons of highly rated players.
Yeah,
and that gives them an advantage for sure. But still, I think it's a good thing. Still, you know, having five subs. As you said, Marcos, that gives more playing time to the younger players, and it keeps it fresh, you know. And I think I don't know how true that is, but it was mentioned that they might be thinking about keeping that for next season, five subs instead of three.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know if they were serious about that, but I mean, I think it would be, I would be in favor. Definitely.
Me too.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And okay, I mentioned Manchester City. We have return dates.
So, for somebody had to.
Yes. Sorry. we now have return dates for most professional leagues in Europe. La Liga in Spain will be back on June 11th. The English Premier League the following weekend, June 17th, and Serie A in Italy on June 20th. And Portugal is starting on June the 4th, I think. I'm not sure. But so yeah, there you go. It's coming back. It's coming back, baby. Awesome. And so we've been now that we've had a few games, Geisterspiele. Are you still? How can I say? Do you have a better opinion on whether you like the empty stadiums or you don't like it, or are you still undecided, or you really like it, or? Simon, what do you think?
I mean, I think sort of looking back at like the Union game, I mean, I would have given my eye teeth to be at that game, in that stadium, in my seat at that time.
For sure.
And I defy anybody else. Thank you very much. I defy anybody else to say any different. And I guess our teams are playing, but is it the same? Hell no.
That's true.
You know, what can you say?
It's better than nothing.
That's it. Yeah, it is better than nothing. But that's as far as I'll go. you know, especially as Hertha are sort of doing, you know, pretty well at the moment. You know, perhaps that's what they needed. I don't know. Without the pressure of the fans there, sort of, you know, cheering them on and what have you. I mean, you know, perhaps it's good for them. I don't know. But as a fan, I'd rather be there to witness them doing well. It ain't going to happen.
No.
I'm stuck on the quarantine island off the north coast of Europe, personally. You know, so I'm not going anywhere.
Marcus, what do you think of the Geisterspiele so far?
Well, I miss going to the stadium, and I miss also the atmosphere, and I miss to see all the people in. I know from the stadium, and I miss this whole like Saturday gearing up and go there and to have this day at the stadium, but honestly, when watching TV like the Auswärtsspiele, it's on TV I don't care so much, to be honest. I think it's funny, I thought it would matter more, but it doesn't really so much, because in TV it's just like a coulisse, like a I can't find better words. It's not as intense as when you have the atmosphere in the stadium, like the whole chanting and everything is a complete different level. If you watch it on TV, then it's just like a coulisse. Is coulisse the right word? A curtain. No, how do you say it? It's not English.
Like, do you mean like a backstage or something?
Wait, I'm googling this. Coulisse English, because it's an important backdrop. Okay.
Backdrop. Well, yeah. Okay.
Backdrop.
Yeah. Okay, I know what you mean. Yes. Like background noise, right? Kind of.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's sort of the back. It's just backdrop noise when you watch it in the stadium, and of course you have these. Like if something happens, like if you have a counterattack, then it's louder. But it's not like if you're in a stadium and have the atmosphere, it's, like it's three-dimensional. Like
yes,
it's completely different. Yes. Like it's not just a backdrop, but it's like
it's something that you feel rather than you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be, I'm pretty fine with it, and even if I think it would be better to hear them, but on the other side, it's also funny to hear sometimes like players shouting to each other or like some coach telling something stupid, like that's fun.
Like goalkeepers shouting out something to express their feelings at that moment. For example.
I'm glad that there is no some I think Fox Sports in the US, I think they added fake crowd noise to their TV broadcast, and I'm so glad that I don't have that on my broadcast here, because that would absolutely suck. No. You know,
we don't have that here at all.
A Sky and the Zone has it optional, but I didn't try them out. And I don't know exactly if you can also put it on Sky, like listen to it on Sky Ticket. But the Zone is only online, I think. Or do they also broadcast on normal TV? No.
If it's canned, you know, crowd noise, generic crowd noise, no.
Yeah.
No. It's not the same sort of thing at all, really.
Yeah, and it's all. It would also be difficult to synchronize everything. Like, you know, if you have a counterattack, does the guy in a TV booth has a button with a crowd cheering counterattack? Press the button. You know.
Yeah.
It's
Makes no sense. Because if you're there in sort of real time, that's the way you can actually sort of feel it, because everybody else is reacting in the same way that you are, and like the whole crowd is sort of like leaning towards in order to try to will them on, kind of thing.
Yes.
And that you just don't get that at all when you're watching it on the TV. So it's very much more two-dimensional when you're watching it on TV. But
hey. It's true. Mm. Do you know if I have no way of knowing, because I don't really, usually I don't often watch other teams, but do you know if the broadcasters changed the spot of the cameras in the stadium so that we would see less of the empty seats? Do you know if that's the case, or did they just, you know, run with it, and who cares if they see?
I think if they're doing it when people are there, they do flip the crowd with things done sometimes. They do, but they must do it less now, because there's diddly squat to see.
True. I saw parts of the Mönchengladbach game against who was it yesterday? I forgot. Anyway, but we know that Gladbach had.
It was Union, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just saw it, wasn't it Union?
I think you're right. And we could see for a few seconds. We could see, like, you know, cardboard cutouts of the fans. You know,
true.
From the.
It's not just Hoffenheim then.
no, exactly. And it worked. It looked good enough for TV. I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest, because I thought it would look horrible, but no, it doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, it had some kind of effect. It's also what I saw. Yeah, I mean, it's a bit ridiculous to do that, but it can be a funny gimmick. But I think the idea behind was just to kill the ghost atmosphere, and it doesn't really compensate that. So I think it would be more radical just to leave everything away, and it's just a ghost game. And but I agree, the effect is somewhat funny to see, like, cardboard faces.
Yeah.
They had two or three rows of people, right?
Yeah, but I think if I remember, the club sold those for 20 euros, I think. So I don't know if it was a way for the club to recoup,
get some revenue in.
Yeah, get some revenue. I don't know if they gave some of it to charities or maybe their stadium workers. I don't know.
Who bought this ticket? The cardboard people?
The fans. Like if you're a fan, you could buy your own seat, and you could send a picture of you, and they would put that picture on the cardboard cutout and put it in that seat.
In your seat.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Oh well, that's funny. That's funny. At least if you give them the money to some,
Yeah, and it was a
poor people.
Yeah, 20 euros. So, it's not too expensive, because I think that I'm not sure about, but there was some point during the game that they really, showed those rows of cardboard cutouts. And yeah. I think you could send a picture of either you or someone else, because I think in the stands, in those empty rows, I think I saw a cardboard cutout of the goalkeeper, Jan Sommer.
You could have a lot himself. Of fun putting a cardboard cutout of some random funny person there.
I don't know if it was him. It looked like him, but I thought it was really funny, Sommer watching himself play. Anyway, so yeah. That's all I got on my list. The Dortmund game is, as I said, on Saturday. It's in Dortmund, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We want to go there.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions, or do you want to make one? Or
did I say 2-0 or 3-0 before?
Oh yeah, yeah. You did. You said 3-0. That's bold. Yeah.
You have recorded that, haven't you?
I don't know.
It'll be a tough one, that. But yeah. Then again, having said that, I thought against Leipzig, because they came away from a sort of like a 5-0 win, didn't they, Leipzig? We held them, and arguably, we conceivably could even have won that game. But Dortmund are a bit rampant at the moment, aren't they? I mean, Sancho got like a hat trick, didn't he, in that last game?
Yeah. So I don't know. Like do you have a score in mind, or would you rather not say? Or
I hate predicting anyway. I'm gonna live the leave the predicting to Marcus. I mean, he said 3-0, so he knows. So
I know stuff.
He knows stuff. He does. He does.
But I'm very much into Europa League now, so of course we shouldn't talk about it. But I'm not a club official, and I'm just counting and I'm watching the games at the moment, and I just hope that Wolfsburg is losing, Freiburg is losing, Hoffenheim is losing, Schalke is losing, like all the clubs who play.
Well, Schalke is doing that.
Actually, all at the moment. And my thing is, I really get bad feelings about if we wouldn't have. If we wouldn't have a draw in this Bremen game, it was a draw in what was the other one? Paderborn as well. These shitty Nuri draws. Then we'll be on an Europa League place now. Yeah, I posted in the Telegram group a few days ago. I know you say don't look back in anger. Oh, I really look back in anger. So I look forward in anger.
Is if Hertha ended up in the Europa League again, in the autumn, and then nobody can travel anywhere to actually get to any of the games.
Oh my God.
That would be grim.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Because one of my best memories, actually, in some ways, is with Hertha, is going to Bilbao to watch them play away there. I mean, that was a really great gig. And if they were to get into the Europa League again, you know, and that's a big if, big if.
Yes.
And then nobody could actually go to the away games. I mean, that would be grim.
We don't have any news regarding the Champions League and the Europa League so far, right? No return dates as of yet.
Not that I know of. No.
Okay.
I heard today that the Bundesliga will probably start in the middle of September. That's what they think about. But of course, it's not set yet because, like all the leagues, like there need to be some kind of synchronization. But that's they think about it. We'll just start in September. So I really wonder what happens if we make the seventh place. Sorry, I just have been away for a minute. So I don't know if you
sure.
talk about it. But okay. if you have the seventh place and we need to play four playoff games in Europa League, which usually starts like in June or July or something like this.
Yeah.
I don't know how this will be done this year. It'll
be complicated. And let's just hope that, I know that, shout out to our friends on the North American WhatsApp group. I know that it was discussed. Some people weren't too sure that, some people thought that going to the Europa League next season would be almost like too fast, too soon for the depth that we have. Like, we don't have enough depth to play all those additional games.
I mean, the depth that we have now is probably better than the last time we went.
That's
Europe.
Possible, yeah.
But it may well be, you know, too much too soon. But hey, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon.
True. And also, it can always be a positive experience for the younger players. You know, like you play your younger players in the Europa League, and you know, whatever happens, and you keep your top players fresh for the Bundesliga. Mm. I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. But that has also been something I remember when we played the first time Europa League a few years ago, like 3 years ago. It was also, you know, we had these players with a perspective, like Stark and Weiser, and I think it was also Lazzaro, was that later? But when we had the first season not playing Europa League, it was really the feeling that, now we can't keep the good perspective players anymore because the perspective players, they want to play Europa League, you know, and if you don't play Europa League anymore, then they have, you know, they miss a kind of, not glamour, but kind of a competitive exposure and competition they really strive for in their career. So I think if you play Europa League, you're much better in keeping good perspective players. Like, we have a lot of them now. Like, Cunha is one, Torunariga, Rekic as well, and Stark still. And that's what I wanted to say.
It's quite interesting, actually, in the last couple of games, anyway. I know he sort of laid out with concussion and what have you, but Marvin Plattenhardt sort of coming back into form again. I mean, some of the crosses that he's put in recently have been awesome. And
absolutely.
Having him in a good place is a good thing for Hertha. I mean, some of the corners and crosses have been absolutely nailed. To keep him on good form, because he used to at one point play in the German national team or what have you. You want to keep something like that on good form.
Yeah, and also another thing that would need additional logistics. But if we get to the Europa League for next season, I just hope that the teams we will play against won't be like all over Europe. You know, like I just hope it won't be something like, you know, a Karabag in Azerbaijan or something? Azerbaijan, yes. You know, or like, you know, you have to go to the, yeah, you know, like Denmark and then Azerbaijan and then Portugal.
Quite hard to get to be honest.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. Have you been in Östersund, Simon?
I haven't. I looked quite hard in going there, and it's quite tricky to get to from England. Okay. Bilbao was fairly straightforward, and that's what I went for. But you know, had I been able to, I would have gone to Östersund. But
yeah.
Hey.
Me too. There were actually people driving there by car. Like there have been very nice adventures, like people hitting a moose. Like there was an accident from a Hertha car against a moose. Nobody got injured, but the moose got injured.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's. I mean, I'm Scandinavian afflicted. Scandinavia afflicted. So that's, and Östersund is pretty far away in the north as well.
And
EasyJet is flying directly to Östersund now every day.
Are they
from Berlin?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that
since last winter.
Okay, I don't think they were at the time because I would have spotted that if they were.
It's just since a few months.
Sorry, I just looked it up, and Berlin Östersund is 1,500 kilometers, 19 hours by car.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wow, well, some of the people from the Damenville podcast, I think they drove there, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Henry drove there, I think. Some of that crew drove there anyway.
My God. That's a dedication.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I had no idea. I mean, I knew it was in Sweden, but I had no idea it was that so far up north.
Mm.
But it's just in the center of Sweden. If you look at the whole Sweden, it's just in the middle. So it's actually...
Yeah. For Sweden, it's not that far north.
No, yeah, that's true. That's true. But, my God. So yeah, that was a... let's hold that, you know, there is no Georgia or Azerbaijan or, you know...
Yeah.
Let's hold that. It would be like a relatively compact area. But you know, we will cross that bridge when we get there. So that's not
somewhere in London will be quite nice.
Yes. Maybe at some point they could play Arsenal in the Europa League. You know.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Who knows? It could happen.
Yeah. I'd take Scotland as well. Oh, yeah, you're an Arsenal. Are you Arsenal fan?
Yeah, I am.
Not it. Okay. Okay. Oh. Wow.
So, I mean, if that ever happens, I think I would cheer for Hertha because I think they would need it more. You know, they would need it more to establish themselves. You know, as a serious club.
Yeah. You know? And your voice counts, Patrick.
I like to think so. All right. So
it would be a brave man that goes to Glasgow and wave a Hertha fan a flag.
Yeah.
If it was coming in the Europa League to go to Scotland, but hey,
I would do it. I would fly there.
Yeah,
absolutely. I spent my holidays either in Sweden or in Scotland.
That's not bad.
So Östersund and Celtic Glasgow in Europa League, I'd be up for it. And then maybe some northern Italian clubs I can visit my parents.
Yeah, that would work. That would work. Fingers crossed.
My sister lives up in the Highlands. But going down to Glasgow is a long drive.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah,
she lives right up in the north, so it's a long way, but hey,
nice.
Well, I mean, I've never been, so how long a drive are we talking?
Five or 6 hours, something like that, I suppose, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I tend to fly up to Inverness. And then drive for about an hour or so up from there.
Okay.
So it's quite well up there, but hey.
Yeah, the problem is the roads, they start to become very narrow.
Yeah,
the more north you get.
The A9 going up north is not like a motorway or anything. It's just like a road, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, especially during the winter, if you go past the Cairngorms and what have you, it's nothing by Canadian standards, but there's snow and all sorts of irritating things like that.
Wow, nice. Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to the time that we can plan actual trips and bust our heads trying to fit so many destinations into so little time. You know, that will be a nice problem to have again.
It would be, yeah. Yeah. I pushed out the boat today, and I cycled, yeah, just down the road about like 4 or 5 miles along the coast, and that was a big day out for me.
Nice. Well, you got to start somewhere.
Technically, I shouldn't have even done that, I suppose, but you know, with the lockdown and things. But hey, I didn't stop, and I didn't see anybody or talk to anybody, so. Hey.
Well, yeah, I mean, I at some point you have to, you know, okay, following the rules, that's, you know, ideal, of course, but you got to be pragmatic at some point, and you got to be realistic, you know. And like, it's not like you went to a there was some kind of a festival or some kind of a party in Berlin yesterday, like people on boats and
it was today, yes.
Mm-hmm. Today, yeah, actually.
We're like 3,000 people, like in the urban Hafen, which is like some kind of like sweet water harbor. But it's more like it's not a real harbor. It's just like a little lake in the middle of the city connected with the canal. Yeah, 3,000 okay. people on airboats or rubber boats, or how you call it. I just saw pictures. It was full.
Yeah, that's not... I don't think that's a good idea, personally.
Me neither. But at the moment, everybody says like it's okay if you stay outside. Like, we also think, well, you know, we have Christian Drosten, which is this now turned famous virologist who's a really nice guy and really explains a lot and lets you participate in his thinking, and it's really nice to listen to him. And he also says he says he would have a good feeling to open to the public again, but especially now we should use the summer to make people happy again when they can sit outside. He sees more danger in sitting inside and not keeping the distance. If you're okay outside, like, you know, there's the wind, because they have good statistics about. There are three ways to get infected. Like, first is touching things where the virus is on it.
Okay.
And the second one is like the spitting, you know, like the...
Mm-hmm. Droplets,
droplets.
No. No, well, there's the droplets, and there's the and the third one is the aerosols. Aerosols are the ones like staying in the air
airborne
the whole time. Mm. Exactly.
Okay.
And the droplets, they are going down after 1.5 and 2 meters. And he says if you keep distance and outside, the aerosols, they pretty disappear pretty quickly by wind and everything. Mm. And he says staying outside, it should be pretty safe. It's not as bad as like going with the U-Bahn or like with the buses.
Yeah. Yeah,
sitting inside in clubs and bars, it's also not something which is good. But outside,
I mean, the club scene in Berlin is a bit screwed at the moment. I would have thought.
Yeah, and it doesn't help wearing condoms.
put it over your head.
Indeed.
Yeah. On that cheery note. Become,
yeah, that will become
that could be a title, condoms on the head. Who knows?
Oh, the new fetish. That will become one.
No, I'm too old for that, I think.
Well, it's latex, isn't it?
All right.
Oh, we should, by the way, mention or credit our friends from Hertha UK, who also made a podcast episode.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, which is pretty nice. I hope they do it more often. They don't have as good audio as we have. They should work on that.
Yeah, that's true. There is some room for improvement. But I think it was their first podcast in 7 or 8 years, I think. And it was interesting, for sure.
I think Anna was on it, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yes.
I confess I haven't listened to it, so I can't comment. But
it's good.
They're good, yeah. And they speak better English than me.
Or me.
Probably me as well.
So, okay, topics to discuss, or was there anything else? Am I for? Oh, yeah, actually, there was this members' assembly 2 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I asked Jan, and apparently it wasn't that interesting, apparently. So I don't know if there is anything much to discuss, but.
Stamtisch was covered in stuff about it, but it washed over me, to be honest, so I don't know what was discussed.
Okay.
I participated to it because I'm a member, and I always take part of it, and I prefer being there on location because they have good sausages.
Yes. That's the only reason to go.
Or let's say they have let's try the goods. They always have sausages. and Kartoffelsalat. Which is something very, very German. It's in English probably as well.
Yeah. Potato salad and hot dog sausages. Very nice.
There you go.
For everyone, for thousands of people. That's why most people go there to the assembly. Yeah, so, it's the assembly, it's it's nothing really new, you know. It's not a platform to discuss things or to talk about things, but it's like more a one way communication situation, and there was nothing really new. The biggest part, like 1 hour, they were talking about, because there are many different, like Hertha is not just a football club, but it's also like they have table tennis, they have boxing, they have also bowling, like the old-fashioned German bowling, and as such, so everyone gets to say a few things. The guys taking care of the bowling, they usually take also care of the sausages. They're very proud of it. So okay. I don't know, it's some kind of folklore. It's usually actually, I always enjoy it. But it's not an assembly where you go there and discuss things and you can have a real exchange of opinions, but it's like it's a one-way a platform. So okay. They just talked about things. There were some questions.
To be fair, sometimes it's more heated than others, in my experience. I've been along to a few of those.
Especially after the second relegation, it was very heated.
Mm.
But still,
it must have been quite something.
Yeah, but still, it's not that you really get the chance to say something and to discuss then something, but it's more people can shout at it, but then the more you shout, the more Plates and Gegenbauer say nothing, you know, like it doesn't work. Yeah. It's not a discussion.
You can shout a lot, but whether anybody listens is something else, but hey.
Yeah, exactly. But still, they present numbers and they tell about things, so it's always very... I don't know. I listened to it, but there's never something really new about it. So, there was a question actually made by Klaus from the Axel Kruse Jugend about women's football, and but the answer was like, we know it. It's important to us, but we don't have any plans yet. You know.
Yeah, it's important to us, but we don't really care. So.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Well, at least they were honest about it.
After a fashion. Yeah.
But it's maybe mentioned the word that it has been the first digital football club assembly in the world ever to take place in this form.
Really?
And it worked. Yeah. And you worked because you could vote, like there was a voting function, and there was, you could also ask questions in this. But there were so many questions that they just replied to a few, so that didn't really work. But like the whole technical setup, it was pretty neat, pretty clean, and it was also working just with one device. Like if you entered your member number, like one device per member number, so it was well thought through everything, and it worked.
Yeah.
But they knew it already, of course, that they can't answer all questions which come in, because then it takes like a few days until you answer the thing. Yeah.
And it lasted the most of the afternoon, if I remember right.
3 hours and 15
okay.
minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Me?
Okay, Marcus, go ahead. Okay, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I just had a question, because said you will come to Berlin in the end of July. Do you? Well, it's a bit private, but maybe it's not so private, because I wanted to know if you come to the birthday, to Hertha's birthday party end of July.
I won't be able to be there after all. My friend, the original plan was for me to rent a friend's apartment, but it turns out that she will be in Berlin after all during that time, so there is no apartment to rent for me anymore, and I don't have the, like, I could get an Airbnb, but I don't have the finances for that right now. So I'm focusing. No, that's okay. That's absolutely not a problem at all. But I'm focusing on September. As far as I know, I'm still coming in September. From September 19th to October 25th. So,
For a long time.
Yeah, about 5 weeks, I think. And I hope it's still it's gonna work out. But I mean, as of yet, I'm coming.
For everybody, it's very much up in the air still, isn't it? Because
at
the moment, some of the borders are opening up in Europe, like in Greece, for example. But people from the UK aren't allowed to go there. And I think that's the case with Denmark as well. So how long that will go on for, I don't know.
Well, I mean, September is still...
it's a long way away.
Months away, yeah, so I'm still hopeful.
I mean, Canada is probably going to be fine. I mean, hopefully the UK will be by that point, but
probably. I mean, right now, I don't think, like, the border with the US has been closed for a while. Mm. And they are not planning on reopening it for the next, at least a few more weeks, I think. Mm. Because Canada is doing okay, all things considered. But you know, the US is a shit show right now. So I want to.
That's exactly the one I was going to use. There you go. It's one of the few countries in the world that seems to be doing worse than the UK.
Yeah. So I'm glad the border is staying closed right now. I mean, we'll see. There might, you know, we'll see if there is a second wave and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, fingers crossed.
That's all any of us can do, really, is just keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Well, I hope to see you in September.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I hope to be there.
And Simon, you too, but you I already met. I'm still looking forward to meet you again.
Simon, how many, if I may ask, how many days are left in your isolation?
In the quarantine, I've got another, it's 2 weeks tomorrow. But it's unclear as it stands now as to what will, they've relaxed the rules slightly with it, in that I can now go out and meet a single person outside. But how long it will go on for, I don't know. It's all a bit chaotic here at the moment.
Yeah.
It's unclear as to whether it will be extended onwards. I mean, my sort of letter goes on for 2 weeks, but there's talk about it going on to the end of this month, and what will happen then. I mean, I have no idea. Well, I'm getting a little bit tired of it, but hey, you know, what can you do?
No, I don't blame you at all. But I think well, I mean, the worst is done. The worst is behind you. So
yeah, hopefully, yeah. I mean, health, teeth. I'm lucky compared to a lot of people because I mean, strictly speaking, I shouldn't have been going to, you know, I shouldn't have been leaving the garden even. But I mean, I've got a nice house, got a nice garden with lots of flowers and things in it, which is nice. And I've gone for walks and things, which I shouldn't have done by rights, but I had to keep saying somehow or other. You know, what I'm really sorry for is somebody that's sort of shielding like I should be doing completely, and you're stuck in a flat with nothing. I mean, that's the people that you've got to really feel for.
That's true. We have in Quebec, we have this saying. In French, it says "On peut pas être plus catholique que le pape." You can't ask anyone to be more Catholic than the Pope. You know, you gotta keep your sanity somehow.
Somehow or other. I'm in a lucky position. I mean, like, was it yesterday? I think it was. I mean, I saw my son for the first time for, like, I think it's over 3 months, actually.
Wow.
I mean, that was from a distance and what have you. But it's kind of weird, really. In the last few days, because they were here briefly, well, not briefly, you know, for half a day. And then I saw somebody else on Friday, but I mean, those three people, my son, his partner, and another person on Friday, that I spent more time, you know, with them, albeit distanced, than I had for anybody else apart from Veronica for such a long time. You know, it's kind of weird, really.
Yeah. No, yeah, I can absolutely imagine. Jesus. Yeah. Wow.
But hey, you know, what can you do?
Someday this will end, you know, and I'm looking forward to that day.
damn right. I mean, all the traveling and things. I mean, like the festival. I was gonna go to a festival up in Norway, in August, which obviously has been cancelled and things, but I was able to sort of transfer the tickets through to, you know, the same gig basically next year. So
okay, that's good.
That's worked out okay. So I lost the flights and things. We've either been able to, and hotel bookings, we'd either been able to get refunds or at least get, you know, points and things to be able to,
you know, vouchers or something.
It's a world we live in.
Yes. What about you, Marcus? Do you have any, like, has your world been turned upside down with all this shit, or things going back to normal slowly, or?
It's for me, it's more or less normal. Like, I work again, and I have a normal, well, my office life is not normal. Like, I just started a new job in the beginning of the month, and I didn't meet my teams yet because most of them are doing home office. And I met from the 50 people, I met around 5 or 6 yet. The other ones, I just know as little avatars on my screen when I make the daily meetings in the morning. So it's a bit weird, and I do one-to-ones with them, but I just know them from the screen. So that's a bit strange. But I go to the office every day.
Okay.
Already since the whole May already, and it's good for me. Like, for me, it's very important to have this kind of, like, to go out to get dressed, and because also I'm not a home office kind of person, because then I always forget to put on trousers. So, you know, this kind of guy, like I'm going to sit at my desk and I just do things, and then like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon I realize, oh, I should put some trousers on, maybe to get a bit more professional.
Yeah, perhaps you should.
I'm bearing now something, so.
Good.
Yeah. But I really hope that I can go to Sweden this summer, and that would be really nice. But for the rest of my life, yeah, just what I said, I don't go so much in restaurants and bars at the moment. Mm-hmm. Still, like, instead of going to have drinks, I'm going to have a walk with people. That's also pretty nice.
Okay.
So, but now life is pretty normalized a bit again. So, like, restaurants and bars who also serve food, they can already open, and mm-hmm. you can sit in front outside of it, but also like on the squares or on the street, people sit there, eat ice and drink beers from bottles.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's in Canada and UK allowed to drink alcohol in public, but yeah, well, here it is, so you can just sit in a square, and like people do that now a lot, to sit outside and sit in some of bars. Yeah, so that's my life. I go to the office, nobody's there, and I drink in public.
what are the countries that people, they're a bit twitchy about people coming in from is Sweden. So I noticed that because, like, if you go to Greece, one country that you can't arrive from is the UK, but also Sweden because of the... Mm-hmm. the rules and things that they had there or didn't, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So whether that will have some sort of bearing on your sort of travels in the summer, I mean, who knows? Nobody knows, do they?
Yeah. Well, my wife says if she goes for holiday in Sweden, stays for 4 weeks there, and she's not allowed to come to Germany, then she just stays longer in Sweden. I don't know if it works like that.
Yeah. Coming back to Germany, though, she may have to be in quarantine coming back, maybe, possibly, I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, maybe. It depends a bit from the situation, of course, like if you have a new outbreak.
Of course, yeah. And in a few months' time, it could all be different anyway, so, you know, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, so I guess we've covered everything we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and probably a bit more. But
yes,
that's okay.
No,
nothing new there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this is all about. Digression.
Yeah. It's always nice to spend the evening with you.
Likewise. All right. So, where can we join you online, Simon and Marcos?
Well, I'm on Twitter, MX5, but I don't do much on Twitter. I'm probably more active. Even not on Facebook anymore. I'm a bit more less Facebook now and a bit more Twitter, but I'm a long time blogger. My blog is makita.org, but it's all in German, so you don't want to read all that.
Can you repeat the your website?
Mequito, like in Spanish, mequito.org.
Okay. All right. Okay, so people can reach you there. What about you, Simon?
I still sort of fiddle around on Twitter and on Instagram. And in both cases, I'm Econet 1892. There's a lot of pictures of the sea. Mm-hmm. And flowers, because that's all I can see at the moment. And I rave on a lot when Hertha are playing.
That works.
What can I do?
And also on the MTF podcast on Twitter, of course.
Absolutely.
And if anyone cares, you can reach me on Twitter at pdupuis, P-D-U-P-U-I-S. It's mostly about Erta and other things. There you go. Your own stuff. So, all right. So
these days, everybody's a little bit random. You know, what can you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for dropping by and for the talk. And I guess, yeah, we will do this again after next couple of games, I suppose.
Right.
We'll see.
And yes. Hopefully we can lure Jan to come back again.
Yes. Yeah.
But he doesn't watch the games, so I think he feels he doesn't have to add anything to it, but
I disagree. She's always a welcome presence.
Shit, I didn't realize you have to watch the games.
But he can also show his daughter in the webcam, so yeah. You need to see the progress.
Sure. And on the next quiz, maybe he will be happy to take part. Who knows?
Exactly.
I'm still working on the next quiz. I got a few ideas. So.
Okay. Well, thanks for the invitation.
You're most welcome. So, thank you, everyone, and AOE,
Erta Beste. Erta Beste. Erta Beste. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.